Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Lord, bless us now as we look at your word tonight. Help us as we read this passage that was given in the writings of the Old Testament prophet, but find its fulfillment and its joy in Jesus Christ. Help us, O Lord, to find its place in our life. Help us to find the encouragement and the strength that we're given in it. Thank you, Jesus, for your word, that you're the same every day. Be with us tonight, as you were with Isaiah, with Israel of old, with the prophets, with the apostles, with the church throughout all the ages, and now with us in a day of confusion and uncertainty. Help us for Christ's sake, and amen. In looking at this passage of Scripture, we have looked at it in two different ways. We looked once to find our encouragement in the fact that God says in verses 8 and 9, prior to this verse, He says that thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. God's electing grace is the underlying foundation upon which the promises and the encouragement in this passage of Scripture are given. He has chosen us from all nations. He has redeemed us out of every nation, every kindred, every tongue, and every tribe. And He has called us to Himself, and He said, I will not cast you away. And because of those three things, He comes then to say, fear not. We don't have to be afraid, because we are His by His choice. I am with thee. I won't cast you away. Be not dismayed. That's the second thing we look at. Don't be bewildered by the world around you. Keep your eyes on me and not on the world. And the result of that is a promise that God gives us. I will strengthen thee. Now He goes on to say, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee by the right hand of my righteousness. And I'll talk about that progression a little more later on. But it's an encouraging thing to me that word that's there, and there's not any word that's in the Scripture that's there by accident or that's there unimportantly. I will strengthen you. Yeah. And I will help you. Yes. And I will uphold you. And the idea of that word, yea, is the word not just yes, but and more so, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and even more than that, I'm going to do this. And so God builds His promise one thing upon another. And He begins by saying, I will strengthen thee. Now I want to look at that passage, first of all, in light of three verses of Scripture that we find in Romans. Paul says in Romans chapter 5, reading verses 6, 7, and 8. Now remember, God said, I will strengthen thee. Paul reminds us, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet without strength. God's promise was given to a people who had no strength. you know, we're born in our sinful state. We have no strength within ourselves to undo that sinful nature. We hear the word say, repent. We hear the word say, follow Jesus. We hear the word of God say that we ought to keep His commandments. We have no strength with which to do that by ourselves. Remember, he asked the question, can a leopard change his spots? Can an Ethiopian change his skin? No. And you can't change your evil ways by yourself. So therefore, when we were without strength, we couldn't change ourselves. We couldn't draw ourselves back into God's presence. Let me ask you a question. How did Adam get back into the presence of God after the fall of his sin? And the fact is, God covered him. He was exposed. He was exposed in sin. He never did get back into the Garden of Eden, but he was given a covering through a sacrifice that would enable him to come before God in worship. We would have no strength to draw ourselves to God. We would have no ability to change the blackness of our sin. We were without strength. Israel manifested that fleshly nature, even though they were God's people, even though they were called by Him, even though they were chosen by Him, what was it that was said of Him? They were a stubborn and a stiff-necked people. And they were a people who gave themselves to idolatry. They had no strength. And yet, with judgment coming, with this reality that God judges sin, God judged Israel, He used the Babylonians to judge Israel, that had already been promised. And yet, after that promise was given, the promise of the coming Messiah was repeated, and God said, I will not cast you away. You have no strength, but I will strengthen thee. I'll strengthen you. It translates from a word, well, I guess I didn't get it in there. In the handout that you got, you'll find that the definition of that word strengthen is from the word amatz. It's a root word which means literally to alert. I will alert you. I will physically make you aware. I will give you courage. I will confirm our relationship. I will fortify you. But you see, the root idea, the primitive root idea of this thing is that He will make you aware of what's going on around you. And I thought about that, the great source of our strength. Oh, God's going to strengthen me. God's going to make me some kind of Superman. No, He never promised that. But what He does say is, I'm going to let you see me. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 14 through 17, there is the story that we're told about of the prophet Elisha, and his servant Gehazi. And then the young man is with the prophet. The king of Syria sent horses and chariots to try to capture the prophet. We find in verse 14, therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. Old Western idea, they were surrounded. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how are we going to get out of this mess? You'll notice he didn't just say, what do we do? It's, how do we do it? And he answered, fear not. Isn't that what God told Israel? Fear not, for I am with thee. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Now, brothers and sisters, the great thing of this promise is the reality that there is a spirit world that parallels our world. Our world is what we see. People have the idea that this world and what we are able to do and what we are able to see is all there is. But the fact of the matter is, there is a spirit world that is round about us. God operates in a world parallel to us, but He's bigger than this world, and He does things that this world can only dream about. Satan is in that realm as well. And yet God is greater than he that is in the world. Satan operates in an invisible way too. But you'll notice that when the prophet opened his eyes, God didn't do any kind of flashy, miraculous thing that suddenly, poof, there he is. He opened his eyes. He was already there. He alerted this young man to what he was doing. The man's cry didn't make him suddenly show up to do it. He knew that these folks were coming after Elisha all along. When they got there and surrounded Elisha, God surrounded them. And you see, the whole idea of Him strengthening us begins with the reality, not of us suddenly being perfectly whole, perfectly powerful, perfectly able to overcome everything physically in the world, but rather it is for us to be able to see and to understand what He's going to do. I will strengthen thee. Now, question comes in. How? It's one thing for us to say, how is God going to strengthen us? Well, I want to share with you seven things that God does to strengthen us. This is where you may want to jot these down, or they're, I think they're all in the handout that I gave you, but they speak to us of seven different things that God does within us that strengthens us. First of all, He strengthens our faith. Look with me, and now where does faith come from? For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. In one of Peter's letters, he writes to those believers to whom he addresses, and he says, and add to your faith. And he gives a list of things we're to add to our faith. But why is it that we add it to faith? God gives us the measure of faith through the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. Faith is the gift of God. And God adds to or strengthens our faith. And He does that in some rather challenging ways. It's not just that He suddenly somehow drills a hole in our head and pours it in where we've got this supercharged ability. Look at what He says in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. I'm sorry, Luke chapter 17. I got the right scripture. I got the wrong heading. Luke chapter 17. Then said He unto His disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than he should offend one of these little ones, one of those little children that Jesus had called before him, those who were weak in faith. But they came as little children. He said, take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And this is the pointed place where we come in. And the apostles said, Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. You see, here were they had faith, but they recognized that some of the things that they faced were things that were very difficult for them to do. They were told, first of all, that they were not to be offensive to those who were weak in faith. But if there was somebody who offended them, they were to rebuke them, not lash out at them, but to rebuke them, and then to say, okay, if they repent, then I forgive them. And if they do that same thing seven times a day, now notice he didn't say just seven times, it's seven times a day. Seven times today, seven times again tomorrow, seven times a day after that. We want to say, okay, enough's enough. God doesn't give us that license. And when Jesus lays that out in front of them, the question is, Lord, I don't know whether I can do that. Increase my faith. You see, the walk of Christianity, the walk in the service of Christ, is a walk that faces obstacles for our human nature. I don't know how I can do this. I don't know how I can face that. I don't know how I can handle grief. I don't know how I can handle loss. I don't know how I can handle people who betray me just like Judas betrayed Jesus. I don't know how I can handle this kind of struggle. The answer is, Lord, increase our faith. You see, the first thing He strengthens is the thing He gives us. He gives us the gift of the measure of faith, but then He tells us that I will strengthen your faith. He strengthens us, too, through His Word. Back up with me in the Proverbs. Okay, He strengthens our faith. He does that in ways through His Word. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright. The way of the Lord. The way that God would have us to walk. The things that He has given us. The things that He teaches us. These are strength to the upright. But the destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. You see, the Word of God is a strength to those that would obey it. What did Jesus use when He was facing temptation? The devil came to Him and said, okay, you're hungry. You've got the power. Turn these stones into bread. Jesus didn't say, I ain't hungry. What are you talking about? I don't need that. What was His real answer? It is written, man shall not live. Jesus was hungry. There's no doubt about that. And yet the answer was, He was to live in something above the things of the world. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Think of Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to thy word. You see, the Word of God is what strengthens us. It strengthened Jesus. It is written. It is written. It is written. He strengthens our faith to believe His Word. He strengthens us through the practice of His Word. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright. He strengthens us, thirdly, through the joy that He gives us. Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 8 through 10. Now you'll notice that none of this has to do with muscle building. He didn't say, I'll strengthen you. I'll push you on a regiment and build up your muscle. I'll fix it where can't nobody beat you. He never promised him that. What he promised him was he couldn't nobody beat him. And so our strength comes in our faith in Him and believing what He has said and living in the joy of who He is. So they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. There's the word of the Lord. And Nehemiah, which is the Tershatha, the governor, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. God's law will convict our spirit. God's law will convict us of the sin that's in our life. They heard what they had done wrong. They heard what their fathers had done wrong. They heard what had gone on and why they had been in captivity. And they mourned for what they heard. But they said, this day, the day of restoration, the day of strengthening was a holy day. Don't mourn about the past. He said unto them, go your way. Eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for which nothing is prepared, for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our God, neither be ye sorry. For what? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now He strengthens us through the joy of the Lord. They had failed, but that was a day that was holy to God. God had given them a word. They had come short of it, and yet God had reestablished them in that word. Where does joy come from? For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. You can't separate any of those from love. If you don't have the love of God within you, and you'll love God because He first loved you. But it's in the love of God that the joy of Him is brought into our life. He strengthens us through strengthening our faith. He strengthens us through strengthening our mind through His Word. He strengthens us through the joy of living in Him. Things are important to Him. Go your way, enjoy what God's given you, and live in the joy of the Lord. We tend to live in the struggle of what's around us. One of the worst things that's ever happened in our culture, to me. I'm an old country boy, okay? And I realize I'm sort of out of everybody's general idea of what ought to be in the world. But one of the worst things that's happened to us is this constant bombardment of news. Most of it isn't new at all. It's the same stuff recycled over and over and over. But the fact that we hear it and we think we've got to listen to it, and I've got to hold on, I've got to have this, I've got to hear this. But all it does is it draws our attention into the failings of people rather than the joy of the Lord. There's some things we need to know, yeah. But I don't need to hear the same opinion repeated 11 dozen times. What I do need to know is that God's provided forgiveness in Christ, and I can go and live within the joy of the Lord. So He strengthens us through our faith. He strengthens us through His Word. He strengthens us through the joy of His Spirit that's within us. And He strengthens us in our soul. Now, think of all of the people in the Scriptures that you can remember who were His people who suffered difficulty. Pick out some. I'll give you three real quickly. One was Joseph, one was Daniel, and one was the trio of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They all three were God's children. They all three were walking rightly, and yet they all three suffered difficulties. So God strengthening us does not guarantee that nothing hard is going to come our way in life. But where then does God strengthen us? He strengthens us in our soul, in the inner man. Look with me in the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 20. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit, where? In the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth the knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. You notice that He said that He would strengthen you in the inner man. How? By His Spirit in Christ. Everything that God promises in this passage in Isaiah comes to us through the Comforter that Jesus said, I'll pray the Father and He will send you another Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 41:10 was written by Isaiah, a prophet in the Old Testament. But the fulfillment of it comes in Christ Jesus and His work within us. And I pray that He would strengthen you according to His glory. He would strengthen you by His Spirit in the inner man. Now, to Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I'm praying to Him that He would do that. He's able to do more than I can think to ask. You see, the work of His strength within us as believers is in our inner man. Our outer man may perish, Paul said in one of his writings, but the inner man is strengthened in Christ. We grow older. We can't do quite what we used to do. Anybody here can do what they could do when they were 30? 30 is supposed to be the prime of life, right? Can you do what you could do when you were 30 years old? I can't. I can't do what I could do when I was 50 years old. So God doesn't necessarily give me unlimited strength physically, but He strengthens me to face what I need to face, be it physical limitation, be it troubles around about me. He strengthens me in my soul, in the inner man. And He strengthens me, another prayer of Paul, He strengthens me for something. And this one's interesting. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all, what? Patience. Something that if you're like I am, you find that often you don't have quite what you need to have. What does that word patient mean? It literally means endurance. To endure the walk of life. To endure the things that come upon us. To endure. Strengthen to unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now, that's where I come again to what the disciples said when it came to forgiving folks 7 times a day. And I have to say, Lord, increase my faith. Bearing things that I look about and say, this ain't right. But enduring them with long-suffering and joyfulness is not something that comes easy. How do we learn how to do that? Romans chapter 5 again. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. How many of us glory in the difficulties that come our way? Why? Because tribulation worketh patience. If I'm going to be strengthened unto all patience, I can rest assured that it's going to be as I learn how to handle tribulation that comes my way. It's not going to be one great big box that I get from Amazon where it comes in and I can open it and say, okay, I got all patience. It's going to come one step at a time. It's going to come one day at a time. It's going to come one move at a time in my faith. But it's going to come as God strengthens me unto patience. And patience with long suffering, which implies that that's going to be patience that deals with other people. I'm going to be long suffering with them like God is long suffering with me. And then finally, He strengthens us through the intercessory work of Jesus Christ. Luke 22, verses 31 and 32. Jesus had talked to Peter. Jesus told Peter that He was going to deny him. Peter said, no, not me. And I want you to notice what the Lord said. Simon, son, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. He's going to run you through the ringer. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. He didn't say, I'm going to pray that Satan won't come against you. I'm going to pray that in his sifting, your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. When thou art converted, when thou art strengthened, when your life is changed, when your life is affected, you in turn strengthen other people. But what does it begin with? Jesus said, I have prayed for you. We have a high priest who ever liveth to make intercession for us. Jesus, who knows all that we face, intercedes with the Father on our behalf, that when we are strengthened, we can strengthen others. So you see, if you look through these things, you see that He strengthens our faith. He strengthens us through His Word. He strengthens us through the joy that He gives us. He strengthens us in our spirit. He strengthens us unto patience. He strengthens us through the intercessions of Christ. I will strengthen thee. You got to build up your strength. You are weak. You need that. He never says that to us. We are without strength in our own ability, but yet He says to us, through the tribulations that we face, and through the sifting of Satan in our life, and through the struggles that we have, I will strengthen thee. That your faith fail not. Now I'll close tonight by leaving you with two passages of Scripture, both from the book of Psalms. And I'll do these very quickly. Psalm 105, this is an admonition. Psalm 105, verse 4. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. You see, we're exhorted through the Scripture to seek the Lord's strength. We can't depend upon our own. What was it that Solomon said in Proverbs? Lean not to thine own understanding. I can't seek to strengthen my faith. I seek God's strength. I seek His Word in my life. I seek His face. I seek to be in His presence. I seek for His presence in my life. Seek the Lord. Well, I'm old enough now, I ought to be better than what I am. No. You see, seeking the Lord's strength is a lifelong work. Psalm 71, verses 17 and 18. And I love these verses. O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared Thy wondrous works. Now, also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed Thy strength unto this generation and Thy power to everyone that is to come. Every time I get up in the morning and go shave, I look and I say, yep, I'm that old gray-headed man. But God's left me here for a reason. It is that I can take what He has taught me through my youth and through His strengthening of my life, that now I can show that strength in a dependence upon Him to every generation that will follow after me. We talked this morning about how fathers would shape future generations. You see, we all have that opportunity to shape those who come after us and point them to seek the strength of the Lord because of what He's doing in our lives. Strengthen. I will strengthen thee. I'll strengthen your faith. I'll strengthen your joy. I'll strengthen your soul. I'll strengthen your patience. And I'll pray for you. That's what Jesus said. When He does all of that in our life, it's not for us to think, well, I can sit back now, all that's behind me. No, it's that I can sit back now and show somebody else that's coming along how to seek the face of the Lord. I pray tonight, folks, that we can understand that the strength of the Lord is not some magic cure to take us away from all difficulties. It's not some magic pill that makes all problems go away. It is a sure way for us to be able to handle the problems that we face to the glory of the God who carries us through. May our lives be seen in that way, is my prayer for Christ's sake. I will strengthen thee.